Looking for a versatile and reliable SUV? The 2025 Honda CR-V is here, and Brandon Honda has an exceptional offer just for you. Right now, you can lease the new CR-V for only $199 a month for 36 months, or choose a 1.9% APR for 36 months if you prefer to finance. With its spacious interior, advanced safety features, and impressive fuel efficiency, the CR-V is perfect for both daily commutes and weekend adventures. Don't miss out on this limited time deal. Visit BrandonHonda.com. Or stop by their dealership on Adamo Drive today. When you arrive, be sure to ask for Sam. That's BrandonHonda.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a lot of work ahead of us today. Hello, welcome to the Todd Stearns radio program, broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. And a lot happening in the world of politics, and a couple of big stories. By the way, folks, it looks like we are going to have a primary challenge of Tom Tillis, the North Carolina Republican senator and swamp dweller. Tillis is tripling down now and will not support the nomination of Ed Martin. That's the guy that President Trump wants to be the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia. And Tillis is single-handedly blocking Martin's nomination. And it's all over J6. Here's Tom Tillis after he informed the White House that he will block President Trump's pick.
He is, I don't believe he's being advanced to the markup. I met with Mr. Martin. He seems like a good man. Most of my concerns related to January 6th. And he built a compelling case on some of the 15, 12 prosecutions that were probably heat of the moment, bad decisions. But where we probably have a difference is I think anybody that breached the perimeter should have been in prison for some period of time, whether it's 30 days or 3 years is debatable. But I have no tolerance for anybody who entered the building on January the 6th. And that's probably where most of the friction was.
I see. So he disagreed with you on that?
Well, no, I have to say that Mr. Martin did a good job of explaining how there were people that probably got caught up in it. But they made the stupid decision to come through a building that had been breached, and that the police officers and others were saying, stay away. So the difference wasn't that they should be charged, in my estimation. It's by how much. That's an argument I'm willing to have. But we have to be very, very clear that what happened on January the 6th was wrong. It wasn't. It was not prompted or created by other people to put those people in trouble. They made a stupid decision, and they disgraced the United States by absolutely destroying the Capitol, and I can't have any patience
for it. It sounds like your concerns were not a
But let me be very clear, though. Mr. Martin did a good job of explaining the one area that I think he's probably right, that there were some people that were over-prosecuted. But there were some, 200 or 300 of them, that should have never gotten a pardon, and he agreed with that. But the disagreement there had more to do. If Mr. Martin were being put forth as a U.S. attorney for any district except the district where January 6th happened, the protest happened, I'd probably support him.
All right. So I thought it was interesting there that Tom Tillis, and I wanted you to hear the entire remark he made. He went to CNN to make this announcement. Not Fox News, not Newsmax. He went to CNN. So clearly, Tom Tillis has an agenda here. And that agenda is to stop President Trump from getting the man he wants. We've been very clear on this program. Whoever Trump wants, Trump ought to get. It's really that simple. Now, here's the kick in the pants. If an interim U.S. attorney is not confirmed, so let's just say that we don't get a confirmation here. If you don't have an interim U.S. attorney who is not confirmed by the Senate within 120 days, here's what happens. And this is why it's very disturbing what Tillis is doing. At that point, Judges on the federal district court for that district could name a new interim U.S. attorney until the role is filled. And it turns out the person responsible for doing that in Washington, D.C., for the district court of the District of Columbia is none other than federal judge James Boasberg, who is a rabid anti-Trumper appointed to the bench by Barack Hussein Obama. Boasberg, you might remember that name, is the guy that was responsible for targeting President Trump's deportation efforts. Put a stop to that. So that's what we're dealing with now. Because of Tom Tillis, you could have Judge Boasberg determining who the new U.S. attorney is in Washington, D.C., and that would be absolutely devastating. Absolutely devastating. So I'm telling you right here and right now, ladies and gentlemen, we need somebody willing to step up to the plate and primary Tom Tillis. You Republicans, he ought to be censured by the North Carolina Republican Party. This man ought to be shamed by what he is doing here. And by the way, Senator John Thune, who is the majority leader in the Senate, should remove Tom Tillis from the Senate Judiciary Committee. But again, they're not going to do that. You know, all of these guys say that they're backing Trump 1,000%, and then something like this happens, and we finally get to see people's true colors. So that's where we stand right now, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, here is Senator Josh Hawley, who knows Ed Martin, a very good friend of Martin. Martin, by the way, from Missouri. Cut number nine.
You've got a number of Republicans who don't want to vote on Ed Martin. And this is the president's nominee, obviously, to be the U.S. attorney in the District of Columbia. I just want to say I've known Ed for years. He's a Missouri guy. So I've known him and his family for years and years and years. I obviously support him. I look forward to voting on him. And I hope we can get to a vote, Steve. I mean, my view is that if we vote on him, he will pass. He will pass in the committee. I believe he will pass on the floor of the Senate. And you know as well as I do, getting a strong U.S. attorney in the district is vital. The district is a cesspool. It is a crime wave every single day. Ed knows how to clean that up. And really, I think we're seeing more opposition to the president's pick. I mean, this is no senator nominated Ed Martin. This is the president's pick. And that's my message to my colleagues. Let's vote on him. Let's pass him.
I completely agree with Senator Hawley. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm curious to hear from you. Does the president deserve to get his nominees? Look, the guy took a bullet for us in the head. Seems to me the least we can do is support the people that he believes are going to be vital to the success of his administration. The picks may not make any sense, but those are the people that President Trump wants, and those are the people that, in my estimation, President Trump ought to get. But for Tom Tillis, this rhino, to stand in the way, it is time, first of all, you need to be lighting up the phones at the senator's, not only his D.C. office, but also the district offices. You need to be lighting up the phones, and you also need to make a decision, North Carolina. Is this the kind of man that you want representing you in the U.S. Senate? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is absolutely insanity. But I'm not surprised. Tillis has shown his true colors quite a bit over the years. And this guy, I think, would be more comfortable as a Democrat than a Republican. But for Tom Tillis to do this to President Trump is simply unacceptable. And there is still time, for him to do the right thing here. But it's going to take, I believe, a lot of pressure coming from his constituents there in North Carolina. Another issue that we've been following is Pam Bondi. And there's some crazy stuff going down with Pam Bondi, who now says that it's going to take even more time to get through the Epstein files. All right, so here is Pam Bondi, cut number one.
The FBI, they're reviewing, there are tens of thousands of videos of Epstein with children or child porn. And there are hundreds of victims. And no one victim will ever get released. It's just the volume, and that's what they're going through right now. The FBI is diligently going through that. I haven't seen that statement, but I'll call him later and find out.
So Pam Bondi is now saying it's going to take even more time. This is very strange to me, because if you go back into January, when Pam Bondi was on Fox News Channel with Jesse Waters. And here's what she had to say about the files back in January. Cut number six.
There are well over, this will make you sick, 200 victims. 200. So we have well over 250, actually. So we have to make sure that their identity is protected and their personal information. But other than that, I think tomorrow, you know, the personal information of victims. Other than that, I think tomorrow, Jesse, breaking news right now, you're going to see some Epstein information being released by my office.
All right. That was 4 months ago. 4 months ago. And we've received absolutely nothing, not a single thing. Instead, Pam Bondi, just about every night, and this is not an exaggeration, just about every single night, Pam Bondi is on Fox News Channel holding court. And a lot of folks are now beginning to wonder, including General Michael Flynn, Rudy Giuliani, Steve Bannon, and they're wondering what is going on here. Where is Pam Bondi, and why are we not getting this information out? Why are we not? And by the way, where is Kash Patel, the director of the FBI? Why are they not arresting these Democrat criminals? Not a single Democrat has been arrested for anything. I mean, going back to Russia, the collusion, look at Doge. Look at what's happening with Doge right now, ladies and gentlemen. They are literally outlining, giving evidence of fraud, of criminal activity. $1 trillion at least in criminal activity, and nobody's been arrested. Nobody's been held accountable at all. And a lot of people are wondering why. What is going on? As a matter of fact, Tom Fitton over at Judicial Watch says, when is Pam Bondi going to prosecute Merrick Garland? Merrick Garland defied Congress. Merrick Garland refused to comply with the subpoena from Congress. So why is it that Steve Bannon, when he defied a congressional subpoena, Steve Bannon went to jail for 4 months? So did Peter Navarro, 4 months. But why is Pam Bondi giving Merrick Garland a free pass? Well, Todd, she needs more time. Okay, how much time? Another 4 months, 5 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years? How many years? What are we waiting for here, people? What's going on? Something's not right. Something's not passing the smell test here. So what exactly are Pam Bondi and Kash Patel up to? What's going on? And again, you've got Bannon out there, and Bannon's like, Pam Bondi, where are you? Where are you, Pam Bondi? And now comes word, and we'll play some of this audio coming back after the break. James Comer, the congressman from Kentucky, now says that there's a very good chance that the reason why Pam Bondi, and keep in mind, Pam Bondi said the folders were on her desk. She had them on her desk, and they were going to be released. And now James Comer coming out in an interview yesterday and announced that there's a very good possibility all of the Epstein files have been destroyed. And that's why Pam Bondi cannot release them, because she never had them in the first place. Ladies and gentlemen, I am very troubled by what's happening in the Trump Justice Department right now, because justice is not being served. It's been 4 months. Nothing has happened. Not a single person has been charged. They keep talking. And by the way, the only reason I'm bringing this up is because they're the ones who brought it up to begin with. So if there was nothing there, if all of the files had been destroyed, why not be open and honest with us about that? It's very peculiar stuff going on. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was, we needed some sound effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed, only $59.98. King size sheets, $69.98. and they sell out fast every year. So you got to get an order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 six-piece My Towel set for only $29.98. Their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard My Pillow. I have six of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait, there's more. Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, baby. The train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com. Promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506. All right, so Benny Johnson had James Comer on his radio show, Congressman Comer from Kentucky, and that's when Comer made the stunning announcement about the Epstein files. Take a listen.
James has the Epstein files, because I don't think the Department of Justice has them, or at least the Attorney General does not have them, or she would have turned them over. The president ordered them released. The Attorney General ordered them released. We all know they have not been released. And one of my biggest fears that I had, and I expressed this with Kash Patel and a lot of people, Stephen Miller and a lot of people going into the new administration. I'm like, you know, I hope they're not shredding documents right now. This was a few weeks before the transition. I said, I hope they're not shredding documents. But you all need to go on that first day and try to get all this stuff released, because, you know, my fear is from what I've dealt with in investigations and in communication with this deep state apparatus, is they're probably in there shredding documents as we speak. So hopefully someone has a copy of that. And you know, I hope we find out, because our task force has done everything, led by Anna Paulina Luna. You had her on your show many times. I mean, she's relentless. She's persistent. She's pretty frustrated right now that these files haven't been released, even though the president and the attorney general have ordered them released.
Wow. It's really unacceptable. It truly is. Meanwhile, you have Kristi Noem and you have Pam Bondi, and there are others in the administration, and they are more hell-bent on getting on Fox News Channel and getting airtime. Never seen anything like this. Even in the first Trump term, it's like every single night you've got all of these Trump administration people climbing all over each other trying to get on Fox. I would like for them to do their jobs. So a question here, folks. Are you satisfied with the job that Pam Bondi is doing here and Kash Patel? It seems to me that if we're at the 6-month mark or the 7-month mark and nobody's been held accountable, and by nobody, I'm talking about Hunter Biden, I'm talking about Susan Rice, I'm talking about Merrick Garland, the Biden Family Crime Syndicate. I mean, we spent millions and millions of dollars on congressional hearings, all of this evidence that was accumulated. So somebody is feeding us a line of hooey, and it's either coming from the House Republican Judiciary Committees or it's coming from the Justice Department. And I just feel like it is time to have a reset with the Trump administration and to remind everybody, you know what? Your job is not to audition for a primetime gig on Fox News Channel. Your job is not to work with wardrobe consultants and professional hair and makeup stylists to get a TV gig. Your job is to follow through and deliver on Donald Trump's agenda. That's your only job. Nobody really cares about you. We only care about the agenda. And if you, Pam Bondi and Kash Patel, if you can't do that for whatever reason, then you need to step aside. Go take your job at Fox And we need to put people into those positions that are willing to do the hard work. And I don't know if they have something on Cash or Pam. I don't think they do. Or maybe they're just not up for the job. And maybe that's it. Maybe it's just something as simple as that. But I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, something is just not right here. All right, we got to take a quick break. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Our website, ToddStearns.com. Lots of great content for you to go check that out, folks. We'll be right back.
Sage Dental's comprehensive care is now available near you. Our new patient package is a free exam and x-rays, $100 off every $400 of general treatment, plus a free Sonic ProClean toothbrush for caring for your smile at home. At Sage Dental, we're committed to your family's health with the latest technology for all your dental needs in one place. Visit MySageDental.com today to book an appointment. That's MySageDental.com. Offer valid at participating locations. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You know, you and I have dealt with them, Benny. You've covered the deep state as well as anyone. I mean, they cover their tracks, and it's just hard for me to believe they're going to leave incriminating evidence. If the government was involved, if the government wasn't involved, I don't think they would have any reason to protect Bill Clinton or Hillary Clinton. They're never going to be elected anything again. I don't think they would have any reason to protect Bill Gates or anybody else. The concern I've always had about the Epstein file. Was the government involved? Did the government know? Was the government using Epstein and the videos to blackmail the most influential people around the world? If that's the case, then they knew there were victims of sex crimes there, and they did nothing. So, you know, that's the concern I have. If the government covers this up, I don't believe it's because of any love affair or affection for the Clinton family, just like I never believed they were hiding and covering for the Bidens because they loved Joe Biden. It was because they hated Donald Trump, you know, and they didn't want their agencies to be disrupted. The same thing with the Epstein files. I don't know this, but my concern is that that the government may have known a lot more and may have been an active participant, maybe with the intentions of intelligence gathering. Who knows? But at the end of the day, I don't think the American people would be okay if the government knew that crimes against young women were occurring, and yet they did nothing to intervene.
Yeah, there are some very disturbing things taking place right now. And by the way, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. That voice you heard, Congressman James Comer from Kentucky. And he said it is his belief, even though he warned. So Comer said he actually went to and warned Kash Patel and Pam Bondi, you've got to get these documents out there, the Epstein files. You've got to get this information out there. And if you don't, it could be destroyed. And he believes that the Epstein files are gone. He believes, to his knowledge, that they have been destroyed. They have been shredded. And all of that information is gone. Now, that leads to another weird thing that's happening, and I don't like diving into what other people are up to, but something is going on, and everybody's talking about it, so I figured I should talk about it. James O'Keefe from Project Veritas, formerly of Project Veritas, now he's out doing his own thing. He published a very strange sort of cryptic message a few days ago saying that he was going off the grid completely. Nobody knew where nobody knows where he is. Nobody knows what he's up to. He said he was not suicidal, that and he said that over and over again. And he kept talking about this information that is supposed to be coming out today that is going to be catastrophic for somebody. So much so that he apparently shared some intel with Alex Jones. There are a lot of people wondering what exactly, and this is supposed to be earth-shattering, whatever James O'Keefe has. Now, I don't know, I know James O'Keefe, but I'm not close to him. I'm not a friend of his. I'm really not even a fan of his. And I'm going to tell you why. I don't like it when people pull this kind of garbage. Oh, I'm going undercover. My life is in grave danger, and I'll be releasing whatever thereafter on this date. And so what they're doing is they're building it all up, and they want you to follow them on the social media. They're looking for the clicks and all that kind of stuff. I just don't like that. If you got information, get it out there and share it. I mean, it's really that simple. But anyway, I understand why he's doing what he's doing. I get that. But I'm telling you, it could be something. It could be something very big, or it may be nothing at all. But I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt here, because if this really is nothing, James O'Keefe, his career is over. It's ruined. Nobody's ever going to trust him again. Nobody's ever going to watch him or listen to his stuff. It's over, because he's literally putting all the chips on the table here. So I'm anxious to see what it is. Is it possible that maybe James O'Keefe actually has the files now? Maybe somebody sent him copies. Is it possible, and I'm just throwing this out there, is it possible that there are a number of people on Capitol Hill in Congress now whose names are in those files? Is it possible that there could be some members of the Trump administration in those files? I would say anything's possible at this point. Let's go to the phones, 901-260-5926. Jerry in Iowa. Hi, Jerry. What say you?
Hello, Brother Todd. I got questions, too. I wonder, and I think it's important for me to stay in the position of I do not know exactly what's going on. I observe a couple different sides of things. If Pam Bondi says she has them on her desk, and she says that there are, 10,000 hours of video, that's a lot of TV to watch to find out if there's any little kids that are implicated, have some very terrible things done or about them. That we do got to be careful. On the other hand, I also don't think that Pam Bondi and Cash Patel were probably on the Jeff Epstein airplane going to island, so there's a lot of things I cross off, but you wonder, we loved the Donald 10 or 15 years ago. He was greasing the skids of both rails of the Democrat Party. He had to pay to play in New York City and keep everybody happy. He was on neither side. And then we know he changed. But the main thing the main theory, and I don't like conspiracies. I like to investigate, but sometimes there are conspiracies. And one possibility is there are important votes coming up. And if those files have not been released, we're not supposed to be doing political warfare, but people better vote for the Trump administration or else. And if you release the files too soon, you don't have that leverage anymore. I know that's kind of dark, but this agenda has to be codified. And it's hardball time. And you don't just we do want accountability. We want Hunter and all the rest of everybody to come to real justice and hear the case, but maybe it's about timing. When should this be released? Not before the vote. Save them till after the vote.
Do you think we're going to get to see those files?
We darn well better. And the 10,000 hours does matter. That's a lot of little kids or whatever they've been doing, but they owe it to us. There's going to be a lot of trouble with the people, because We've been trusting the Donald so far, and the red wave, and we put him there. So it's not over with, but yeah, we want that stuff. We better have it, and we're going to get it. And if they got shredded accidentally, that's not gonna go well for the Trump administration, Pam or Cash or anybody. But we're going to get them, but maybe just not until after some good votes happen.
Mm. Well, we shall see here, Jerry. But I think you're gonna have folks, and especially the true conservatives up in the House, they're gonna be pushing this. There was a promise made, and again, if Pam Bondi would have come out, and all she had to do was come out day one and say, you know what, folks, we don't know where the files are. I think people would have. I mean, it certainly wouldn't not have been on her at that point. But when you go out there and you say, I've got the files on my desk. I have seen them. They're horrible. And we're going to be releasing stuff this week. And 4 months later, down the road and we don't have anything, that's on Pam Bondi, I'm afraid.
Yeah, so her timing is bad. People make mistakes. There are delays. Sometimes things go under budget, over budget and over time. But so that's her worst crime so far. So far, I trust her and cash, and the administration is doing a fantastic job. But we want to see that stuff, and that's, and I think we're going to see it in time. Otherwise, it'll be the worst thing she's ever done. And I, so it's not over yet, but I want those votes to happen good.
All right, Jerry, thank you for the call, and thank you for listening. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Oh, by the way, this is a crazy story. We have a lot of listeners in South Haven, Mississippi, and listening to us on KWAM. So apparently a few minutes ago, some thug stole an ambulance and drove the ambulance through the hospital, literally plowed into, like, half of the ambulance is protruding into the hospital. And they're saying there are injuries. Everybody's going to be okay. And they've captured the thug. But we don't know what the guy was up to. So we'll try to keep you updated if we have any information on that. But, wow, the visuals of this ambulance, just the back of the ambulance is stuck halfway out the wall of the hospital. Jeez, Alou. All right. I want to play some audio here. This is last night on Fox News. And it was sort of weird because you had Laura Ingraham grilling Sean Duffy. Sean Duffy, of course, is the new transportation secretary. And they've been having a lot of problems at Reagan National Airport, like near misses. So there have been more near misses involving these military helicopters. As a matter of fact, the latest incident involving an Army Black Hawk helicopter that was taking a scenic tour. Here's the headline from the New York Post. Army Black Hawk helicopter causes two terrifying near misses with airliners at Reagan National. An Army Black Hawk chopper caused two near misses with airliners at Reagan National just last week, including passing as little as 200 feet from one jetliner after the pilot took the scenic route to the Pentagon. Officials and politicians quick to blast the Army for the incident, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy calling it unacceptable. You might remember 3 months ago, same kind of Army chopper struck an American Airlines jet, killing 67 people. On Thursday, the commercial flights, a Delta Flight 1671 and Republic Flight 5825, were rerouted just moments before they were due to land at Reagan due to the proximity of the helicopter. This all coming from the Federal Aviation Administration. Both flights were on their final approach, less than 2 miles from the runway, and this was all happening in broad daylight around 2:30 in the afternoon. The Black Hawk took a scenic route around the Pentagon instead of proceeding directly from the west to the heliport. According to Senator Maria Cantwell, a Democrat from Washington, it's outrageous that only 3 months after an Army Black Hawk helicopter collided with a passenger jet, the same Army Brigade again flew a helicopter too close to passenger jets on final approach. Sweet Lord. So anyway, Laura Ingraham was asked about this last night, or she was asking about this last night on the channel. Take a listen.
Army is pausing all helicopter flights near D.C. after those two commercial planes had to abort landings because of a Black Hawk taking the, quote, scenic route around the Pentagon for a VIP. This is 13 weeks after 67 people were killed in that horrific crash with another Black Hawk. Who was that VP they were taking the scenic tour for?
That's the question.
VIP.
Right? So they have to have a mile and a half nautical separation, nautical miles, 500 feet separation as well. They breached that airspace, the helicopter did, and so two airplanes had to go around. The question becomes, who are the VIPs? Who are the, is it a two-star, three-star general? There's a lot of traffic going into the Pentagon. Oh. The top brass at the White House, they take a Suburban or a Tesla or they take their own car. Who do these generals think they are that they have to take helicopters to go to meetings or go to airports? I don't know who it was. We should find out. And well, the DOD.
Well, what do we ask? Well, I mean, you're the transportation secretary. How do you not know?
The FAA doesn't know. We asked the DOD. The DOD has promised radical transparency. They should tell us who is qualified to take a helicopter out of the Pentagon. I don't know, but they have to tell us.
Well, could you just call up HEGSA?
Well, I should actually. Why do you
call him right now?
You call Pete.
Okay, I got the phone.
She actually has a phone right by her desk.
Yeah, I do. I'm ready for that.
But those are the answers that we need. Again, when we have these near misses, you got to stop the traffic. And listen, the president, the vice president, Pete Hegseth, they all should fly in helicopters. But a two-star? I mean, come on.
Wow, that's weird. And again, I don't know. Is there a protocol issue here? Why can't the transportation secretary call up the secretary of defense and say, what the heck is going on? And why are your army choppers still flying and nearly colliding with jetliners at Reagan National? What is going on up there? Again, this is why I think, ladies and gentlemen, we just genuinely need a reset. And everybody needs to be brought in, and they need to be told, look, your job is not to go on Fox. Your job is to do the bidding of the president of these great United States. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Let's be real. Life happens. Kids spill. Pets shed. And accidents are inevitable. That's why you need a washable sofa that can keep up. Our sofas are fully machine washable, inside and out, so you can say goodbye to stains and hello to worry-free living. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, they're kid-proof, pet-friendly, and built for everyday life. Plus, changeable fabric covers let you refresh your sofa whenever you want. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa anytime to fit your space, whether it's a growing family room or a cozy apartment. Plus, they're earth-friendly and trusted by over 200,000 happy customers. Starting at just $699, it's time to upgrade to a stress-free, mess-proof sofa. Visit washablesofas.com today and save. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
All right, let's go to the phone lines here. David in Georgia wants to weigh in on Pam Bondi. Hi, David. What's going on?
Hey there, Todd. You know, Pam may have handled this a little wrong, but big deal.
Why do you say it's a big deal?
Well, no, I'm saying it's not a big deal.
Oh, so it's not a big deal. Why is it not a big deal?
Well, I'm seeing positive things with the things they're prosecuting. Is it illegals that can hurt us today? I mean, somebody that tomorrow you come out of your house and they can shoot you. They're hawking these people up. They're moving them out of the country. I'm seeing positive things happening, and I'm seeing a lot of people focusing on negative things. And personally, I don't want to go there, personally. Now, have you talked about RFK Jr. talking about our government sex trafficking kids? Have you talked about that yet? Because he brought it up in the last cabinet meeting.
And what about it?
Well, he's saying that HHS was part of trafficking kids for sex.
All right. So what do you want him to do about that? That would, at that point, that would become a Justice Department issue. So what do you want to see done about that?
Well, I would like prosecutions of whoever was behind that program doing that through our government. I would like to see that. Now, can he do that? No. It's got to go to the Justice Department, so he's got to refer them to the Justice Department.
And who's in charge of the Justice Department?
Well, yeah.
Pam Bondi.
He's in charge of
them.
That's correct. So my point is, the things that happened with Epstein happened in the past, and they need to come to judgment. Don't get me wrong, but it takes us some time to line up those cases. And right now, I'm kind of miffed that nobody's focused on the P. Diddy trial, because it will be very similar to what the Epstein thing is going to happen. So.
No doubt about it, but if Pam Bondi had her way, we wouldn't know anything about it. And that's my concern, David. She's the one that brought it up. We're calling her out because she brought it up and she did not deliver the goods. And again, it's not just yours truly that's miffed about this. You've got a bunch of other MAGA conservatives that are just as concerned here. And look, the reality is America needs to know if we have dangerous pedophiles currently serving in our government and on Capitol Hill. And those people must be brought to justice. They have to be brought to justice. I'm with you. I think all of the people that were that were trafficking kids for sex in HHS, if that turns out to be true, every single one of them, they deserve the death penalty. I mean, we got to play hardball with these people. And you're right. P. Diddy, if he did it, death penalty. I'm telling you, any crime against a child, it ought to be the death penalty. David, I got to run. Hang tight, everybody. Hour two of the big show coming up. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
ChatGPT Plus is free for college students through May. Here's the thing. You've got a lot to do between now and then. Studying for finals, writing papers, trying to keep your life on track. And ChatGPT can help with all of it. It can quiz you on your econ exam, make a study guide from your French notes, plan out your meals, and study breaks. It can get really specific on how you like to learn. It can even help you come up with ways to stop procrastinating. So from now until summer break, take advantage of all the ways ChatGPT can make your life easier. Restrictions apply.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. It is hour two of the big show, broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Wow, we've got a lot going on this hour of the program. For the past couple of weeks, we've been reporting on the rise of Islam, not only across Western Europe, but also here in the United States. And it is very disturbing what's happening in many parts of our nation, especially in Texas right now, where people in some communities appear to be embracing Sharia. An entire Islamic community is under construction in Plano, Texas. And many people are wondering, where does all of this end? What is the end game? Well, to help us understand that is one of the greatest scholars I know, a great theologian and an incredible pastor. Dr. Michael Youssef joins us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Dr. Youssef, good to have you on the radio show.
Oh, it's wonderful to be back with you. Thank you for having me.
Well, we had you on our Newsmax show, and I love TV, but we only have a little bit of time together, and I appreciate radio where we can have a little broader conversation. And you have been sounding the alarm, Dr. Youssef, especially about what's happened and what is happening in places like France and now the UK.
Yes. My very first book was in 1982, and on that genre, I have written 7 or 8 more since then, including my PhD dissertation at Emory University. When I graduated in 84, I have written my dissertation on the rise of, back then was called Jihad, later on amalgamated and become Al-Qaeda. And I went actually and I interviewed some of these folks and I listened to them and they made very, very strong threats that if I don't write down what they said, they know where I live. So I basically write what they say. I don't put words in their mouths. I don't pontificate. I don't try to express even my opinion because it's very important to listen to what they say. You see, they've said that the third jihad is coming, and that's why I wrote a book called The Third Jihad, and I listened to their thinkers, somebody like the late Yusuf Qardawi, who was kicked out of Egypt, was living in Qatar. He died now, but many others have picked up his mantle. And they never back down or deny, like some people do, that Islam spread by the sword in the early days. They never deny that. They said, yes, we did. In the first jihad, in the middle of the 600s, when they came all the way to France almost, and then they got Mattel kicked them back. Then in 1400s, they went all the way to Vienna and occupied Vienna for a while, and then they went back to Istanbul. And so they said, the third jihad, this is our third one, is going to be the final one. And every one of those jihads, the past ones, the last two, is they wanted to go to Europe. They believe Europe is the center of Christianity. And the way to prove the victory or the superiority of Islam over Christianity is to occupy Europe, to take over Europe and turn Europe into an Islamic state. So they've been working at this for years and decades. And as I said, the words that I write in my books are taken out of this material. And they said, this third jihad is not going to be fought with the sword. There'll be no bloodshed, but there will be absolute invasion and birth rate and financial investments. And when you think that in England they own so much, Harrods stores, Barclays Bank, and the list just goes on and on and on and on, and they're doing the same all over Europe. So it's just a matter of time. They say, we produce 6 or 7 children, in some cases actually 10, and while European, they're producing 1.5 or not even that.
Well, we've seen across not only Europe, but here in the United States, where the birth rates are plunging, and I would just say among Christian families, but we are seeing the birth rates exploding in, you know, among Islamic families.
Yeah, that's by a strategy. That's not just it's a good idea to have a bunch of kids. They say, look, if you really want to be true to your religion, bring a lot more kids. And so they do. And, of course, in England, I don't know how much here, but in England, they're openly married 2 or 3 or 4, which is according to their Sharia, they can. And actually, the multiple wives also are recipients of government assistance, as well as the children. And so, as I said, it's just a matter of time unless God intervenes.
Dr. Youssef, I'm curious. We've seen what's been happening across Europe where there are no-go zones. Christians are being punished for sharing their faith in the public square. The Islamic flags are flying everywhere. And now we are seeing a lot of that happening here in this country, especially in Times Square, where we've seen the Muslims taking over Times Square and pulling out their prayer rugs and holding their prayers there in the crossroads of the world, as they call Times Square.
Exactly. And this is, again, one of those signs of victory. Allah Akbar, God is greater, and therefore we are coming here to take over because we have a superior religion. And even in the minds of those who might not be Islamists and they're not really jihadis, you know, they will say, well, generally speaking, in their simplicity, they think, well, God spoke through Moses and people didn't listen. So he spoke through Jesus and didn't listen. So finally, then he said, I'm speaking through my last and final of the prophets. And therefore, everything else that came before him and everybody else that came before him should be abrogated and be submitting to this final revelation of Allah. And that's just a mindset. That's you listen to them, and I do on a regular basis in the media, and they're sheikhs and they're scholars. And so this is all by design. And they like places like Texas or San Diego or in places in Michigan, certainly New Jersey already, got a whole town where the mayor and all the officials are Muslims, and they call it Little Palestine. And so it's just that what they did in England, I think I mentioned that to you once, Todd, is that they started about 35 or 40 years ago of what they call building a spine that's going from north to south of the British Isle, and putting centers there and called those no-go zones. Policemen cannot come here. And then once that's established, they start building the ribs, which it means that we will basically control the country. And one of the things they do is that once they induce fear, and that I have seen, and you have seen, I'm sure many people have seen, the police in England running away from them. They're afraid of them. And they said, once we establish that fear factor among those in authority, then we really have already, not the nose under the camel, but the whole camel is under the tent.
I'm curious about what that would look like if Islam overtook Christianity here in this country. What could we expect to see in our society?
Well, one of the things, I'm going to be honest with you, I just don't want to contemplate that. I escaped 55, almost 60 years ago. I escaped from that kind of tyranny, and back then it wasn't necessarily persecution, but certainly was a lot of discrimination and in the 50s and the 60s in the Middle East. But and so I don't want to even contemplate that, but in reality, if that happens and the courts and the police are really basically out of fear, they said, oh, yeah, well, you can go to a Sharia court. And so as a person may kill a daughter or a wife because we're called honor killing, that the law, the American laws cannot apply to him. He will have to go to a Sharia court, and the Sharia court, his lawyer would point out to the texts in the Quran that says, you know, that honor killing or killing somebody who's backslidden or turned their back on Islam, and all of those, cutting the left hand for the first theft, the right hand for the second theft, and all of that stuff that's even now not being practiced in Saudi Arabia. I mean, Saudi Arabia is coming out of that. Now, the West is going into it. And it's really, really very disconcerting. And at least I know some Middle Eastern leaders who are standing up to the Islamists. These are Muslim leaders. And not allowing them. I remember not long ago, I mean, probably 8 years ago, a very prominent leader in the Middle East looked me in the eye and he said, explain to me, Dr. Youssef, how we outlawed the Muslim Brotherhood in our country in the Middle East. And yet they go to England and they give them a satellite channel and a television so they can constantly attack the moderate Muslim governments in the Middle East. I said, I don't know how to explain that to you except it's total and utter stupidity, or if I'm talking spiritually speaking, total blindness. It's like committing suicide or soaring the branch of the tree that you're sitting on. That's really basically what it is. But if Sharia courts start spreading all across the country, it will be just a matter of time.
It just seems to me, Dr. Youssef, that a lot of this has to do with the immigration. And I know President Trump recognized this in his first term in office, that this was very dangerous to bring in immigrants from these, you know, countries that are hotbeds of terrorism. But at the same time, you know, you've got people out there listening to us right now that would say that what we're talking about is Islamophobic. How do you respond to those kinds of people?
They love that word, They love that word. And they use it in order to intimidate authorities in order to acquiesce to them. They've done it very well successfully in Europe, and they want to do it here. Islamophobia. It's a term that they got, I guess, from the homosexual community. We're homophobe, and they said, well, we can take that too. We can use it. It works for them. We can use it ourselves. And the problem is, you know, we as Christians do not have fear of Muslims. We don't have fear of anybody. We love everyone. But look, I'm an immigrant, okay? And to immigrate to this country legally, the government can make its own laws. I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not a politician. But when we immigrated here, I can tell you this. We had to provide document that says that we don't owe taxes in the country of origin, that we have, the police will give us a statement to say that we have no conviction in that country. And then on top of that, we had to sign an affidavit. I don't belong to a communist organization. And then on top of that, you have to do medical examination, not by our own doctor, but by the embassy doctor, the American embassy doctor. And so all of that, we had to go through, and more than willingly and happily. Now, people are just walking across the border, and Trump repeatedly said, they're emptying their jails. And so we don't know. And they're not just South Americans, let me tell you. They were coming from Afghanistan and from China, from the Middle East. And we don't know who's here and how many jihadis have got through the border when it was such a mess. And where are they? And what are they planning? And what's going on? And that all that is very disconcerting.
Dr. Youssef, we are going to have to leave it there. And folks, I would encourage you to go to Dr. Youssef's website. That would be ltw.org, Leading the Way. That's ltw.org. And you can find out all sorts of information about Dr. Youssef. Read his books and read his writings. It is very important that we be prepared and we be aware. Dr. Youssef, we certainly appreciate your time today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Todd, for having me, brother.
All right. Good man right there, folks. Dr. Michael Youssef and his ministry called Leading the Way. Pastors an incredible church there in the Atlanta area, and really is one of the foremost theologians and experts on what's happening in the Middle East. So, born in Egypt, by the way, he founded the Church of the Apostles in 1987, and they have over 3,000 members now, and just a beautiful, beautiful church facility there in Atlanta. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. And what a sobering reminder for us that we need to pay very close attention to what's happening in places like Texas, where Islam is on the rise. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Flight by Yuengling. It's the next generation of light beer. For those who don't follow trends, but craft them. Flight by Yuengling is 12 ounces of uncompromised refreshment from America's oldest brewery. With only 2.6 grams of carbs and 95 calories, this is premium refreshment six generations in the making. Don't just raise a glass. Raise the bar. Flight by Yuengling. Available wherever beer is sold. DG Yuengling & Son Incorporated, Pottsville, Pennsylvania. Please enjoy responsibly.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Ron in North Carolina. Hi, Ron. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to make a statement concerning the Attorney General and the Epstein documents.
Yes.
He said they were printed out. Okay, first of all, I can understand if they're withholding that because it's the information is required and going to be used in a investigation for convicting of someone. But anything that was, if they copied it from any type of electronic media, there, unless they have overcopied that media two or three times, a computer expert or IT expert can retrieve that data. So as far as just somebody going in there and deleting it, oh, it's gone now. Unless it's been overcopied a couple of times, it's still there. You just have to put an IT person in there that knows what he's doing. They can retrieve it. And one other statement real quick. Don't expect Tom Tillis to be on the ticket next November. I don't think he's going to make it.
You don't. So you believe that he may either resign or he may not. He may be primaried.
He is being primaried.
Well, we need a good, strong candidate. You know, some people have been suggesting, I've been watching our live chat, a lot of people are saying Mark Robinson ought to challenge the guy. Who do you like? Who would you rather have than Tom Tillis?
I think his name is Nielsen. Mark Robinson, I would support him, but there's a lot of bad baggage that caused him to lose the run for the governor.
Well, we all remember that. So, look, here's the deal. Whoever's going to primary Tillis needs to be a rock-solid conservative with a nice, squeaky, clean background, Ron. Gotta run here, my friend. That music means we've got to take a quick break. Going back to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Do you believe Tom Tillis, ladies and gentlemen, should face a primary opponent? We'll be right back. All right, this just in. Speaker Johnson just canceled a crucial vote that would have slashed $9.3 billion in wasteful spending. That includes more than $8 billion from USAID and $1.1 billion from the NPR PBS propaganda channels. Wow. The Trump-backed Doge plan, led by Elon Musk, exposed the pork, but apparently, according to some online reports, spineless rhinos quietly killed the vote this week. Congress was scheduled to vote on the cuts, but the votes were canceled. USAID, other programs like PBS, NPR were targeted. This is according to Thomas Massey. And now Johnson is preparing to recess the House for another four-day vacation. Come on, people. What in the world? But this is where we are, ladies and gentlemen. This is what's going on. Massey says that this was not widely covered in the news, but again, the rescissions, and we've been talking about this, is not just so much that there's been criminal fraud committed against the American people. By the way, all the people that were getting Medicaid, Medicare that were not qualified, people getting Social Security checks that were not qualified, those are all criminal acts, easily prosecutable. But on the other side of it, it was an opportunity. Doge finding all of these cuts. Congress has to go in and make the cuts permanent, and they're taking yet another pass. And there you go. So Thomas Massey breaking that little secret. And why is it, again, that the House is going back to their districts for the Mother's Day holiday? 901-260-5926. Steve in Little Rock, Arkansas. Hi, Steve. What's going on?
Hey, Todd, I want to comment on the Epstein file release and all the hubbub. I'd like to humbly clarify for Pam Bondi what I think the American people want. This is what I want to know. I don't want to see 10,000 hour videos. I don't want to see all the kids or know anything. I want to know how you put together a strong enough case against a man that after he's charged, he commits Clinton side before he can even go to trial. And then you go to his partner and you put a strong enough case against her on child sex trafficking to put her in prison for 20 years. And nobody's ever mentioned who these children were sex trafficked to. Typically, a trafficking thing, you got to have a trafficker and a traffickee. Well, we've got the traffickers. We've heard that story. We don't know who the traffickees were. And there's only two answers for this. Either Epstein and Maxwell were hauling these kids down to that island and doing all this just to have sex with them themselves. Or there's a list of people that were down there participating in the sex trafficking deal. We want that list. That's all we want.
That's all. That's all.
Simple.
Yeah, we don't need to see the photos, and we don't need to see. And I hear what she's doing, and it's a pretty shrewd move. But the reality is nobody's out there asking to see the videos or the photos. Nobody's asking for that.
And if there is a list, I want to know why there haven't been other criminal charges against the people that were on that list.
Well, I'm just going to go out on a limb here and suggest that there are Republicans in those files, that there are Republicans mentioned in those files, and some of them may very well actually be on Capitol Hill right now.
That's very, very possible. But one little tell to me, Todd, that, and this is what I'm having trouble, this is turning into maybe the first stain on Trump's second term as president. There's a lot, the only people that are raising Cain about this are Trump supporters.
That's it. I mean, you're looking at Steve Bannon, Michael Flynn, Tom Fitton, Rudy Giuliani, Todd Starnes. We are not far leftist here. We're not rhinos. We're America First patriots.
Why is the mainstream media not pounding on this? Why are they not pounding to see the Epstein files and harassing Trump about why his attorney general won't do what he said she was going to do?
Steve, I truly believe there are some very, very powerful people that are in those files. So much so that, you know, Jeffrey Epstein found himself suicided while in custody. It's dangerous. I no doubt about it. But that doesn't mean that we still should not at least try to do the right thing here.
No. It's dangerous. But when she took that job, she knew all this. You can't tell me she was just blindsided by who was on that list. She probably already knew who was
on
the list.
Steve, remember what they told us. That the holy trinity of terror for the left and for all of those who had been breaking the laws and had used lawfare against Donald Trump, the holy trinity of terror, Pam Bondi, Cash Patel, and Dan Bongino. And they said those folks were going to go in on day one and they were going to blow it all up. So,
and the only grace I can give them right now, and I hope this is what the situation is, They're keeping their powder dry and their mouth shut because they're trying to put together criminal cases, and they don't want to do anything that would corrupt those criminal cases.
Then Pam Bondi and I'm willing to look. I'm willing to get the benefit of the doubt. The only reason I started bringing these issues up is she's on Fox News Channel every week talking about how the files are coming. The files are coming. Okay, well, where are they? You know, I mean, you're the one bringing it up.
Yep, you're right.
All right, Steve, good call. Thank you. 901-260-5926. Story out of Boise, Idaho. It's official. The gay pride flag is now the official flag of Boise, Idaho. Mayor Lauren McLean, a far-left Democrat, pushed the flag change in response to a new state law. Now, that law regulates which flags local governments are allowed to fly. In other words, Idaho was trying to cut back on the gay pride flag and the transgender flag and all these BLM flags. Too many flags. So now a lot of locals are upset, and they're saying that basically now their beloved city has to pledge allegiance to the rainbow flag. And nobody wants to bow down and expose their blessed assurance to a bunch of pansexual two-spirit freaks. That's understandable. One native of Boise said the gay flag in no way represents him or his family, and he says it's not inclusive. But really, ladies and gentlemen, what's happening in Boise, and it's really across the entire state of Idaho, is a lesson for the rest of the nation, because they've been overrun by the far left. You know, they're coming out of California, Oregon, Washington State. Look at the mayor. She was from Boston, only been living in Boise barely 25, 26 years. So my recommendation is they need to start checking people's voter registration cards. Here's the deal. Get the state patrol out there, the Idaho Highway Patrol. Get those guys out there and have them patrolling the border. If they see any of those Subarus coming over with the coexist bumper stickers, just pull them over. Tell them, sorry, our state's closed. I'm telling you, this is why you need Look, you've got to, if you're a rock solid red state, you need to practice strong border security. Look at what happened in North Carolina. Beautiful town or beautiful state, beautiful people, now gone purple. And all you folks in Texas, better start paying attention. All those Californians moving into your town, it is bad news, ladies and gentlemen, bad news. All right, coming up tonight, 5 o'clock, we've got a great show for you coming up on Newsmax. Hope you tune in, the Todd Stern Show. Newsmax, by the way, just went public on the New York Stock Exchange. We are now listed on the big board. Millions of Americans like you are joining our news revolution. Reuters Institute says Newsmax is one of the top 12 news brands in America now. Even President Trump says it's terrific. 40 million Americans go to Newsmax. The audience, get this, grew 50% since the same time last year. Millions really making the switch to Newsmax. And if you want to be a Newsmax share owner, well, call your advisor or get more info at NewsmaxInvest.com. And you can stand with Newsmax today for a strong America. Now, this communication is for informational purposes only and shall not be intended to and shall not constitute an offer to buy or sell securities, nor shall there be any sale of securities in any jurisdiction in which such offer, solicitation, or sale would be unlawful. All right, they're getting ready to do Jesus Christ Superstar, the musical. That's at the Hollywood Bowl. It is sure to rankle some of you Presbyterians out there and Baptist. Singer Adam Lambert has been cast as Judas. He's the gay guy who likes to wear the makeup, the guy liner. May I just say something? And again, I don't disparage any gay person who wants to wear makeup, but it's got to look good, right? That's not a good look in the eyes. It's too much. Too much guy liner. I'm just telling you. It's, instead of eyes, it's just like he's got these big black spiders, these tarantulas coming at you. So anyway, Adam Lambert. And by the way, the guy's 43. He needs to kind of start, you know, got to start dressing the age. Anyway, Adam Lambert, gay dude, cast as Judas. And that's not the controversial part, actually. So it turns out that Jesus is going to be played by a bisexual female. Hollywood really does love to play with the Christian community. All part of a cabaret at the Kit Kat Club. And this is the Andrew Lloyd Webber musical, Hollywood Bowl, set to run August 1 through 3. Lambert in 2021 described his faith as Aquarius. He's been an outspoken advocate for LGBT issues. He came out as gay following his stint on American Idol. Is he the guy that played Queen? Wasn't he like, yeah, all right, Dylan, you're shaking your head. All right, thank you. That's what I thought. He claimed to have faced homophobia early in his career, especially after he kissed another man during a performance at the American Music Awards. He said he was scolded by the network and pushed him to be, quote, as gay as I can be. So he's blaming Hollywood for being gay? And let me just say, does that mean, is that why he wears the makeup? I mean, there are plenty of gay people out there, and if they wear makeup, it looks okay. It looks weird. Too much. Well, yes, Dylan, I do wear makeup, but it's for TV. And I don't wear guy liner. The lovely Miss Kristen comes every single day, and it takes a team of professionally trained makeup artists to get me look presentable for TV. But this guy looks like, I don't know, it's weird. Lambert claimed in 2023 that young people had told him his outspoken homosexuality, which included being bi-curious, what does that mean? Encourage them to be more open about being gay. I mean, I see. So he likes guys and girls. I don't think that makes you gay. But I don't judge. we just report the news without fear or favor. Quote, over the past few years, I keep meeting more and more young people that saw me when we were a kid on TV, and they're like, you helped me talk to my parents about being gay. Hey, mommy, daddy, see the dude on TV with the guy liner? Yeah, I'm like him. I'm not sure that goes over well. Lambert's casting announcement comes a month after it was announced that Cynthia, is it Erivo? Was it? Wait a second. She was on Wicked. I remember. She was causing all sorts of chaos then. She's the bisexual black British actress. Oh, yeah. When I see a bisexual black British actress, I immediately think of Jesus. Yeah, that's it. Erivo's casting drew criticism from some pastors. No kidding, really. I never saw that coming. They called it blasphemy. She was dismissed as being too bald, too brown, and bisexual to play Jesus. Oh, wow. You do wonder. Hollywood Bowl is an outdoor venue, by the way. I'm predicting thunderstorms with cloud-to-ground lightning. That's what I'm predicting. Opening night. So there you have it. The show, by the way, mainly from Judas's perspective, follows the final weeks of Christ's life, starting with the preparation for the triumphal entry and conclusion with the crucifixion. But they don't resurrect Christ in this particular musical. And by the way, the film itself is actually sympathetic to Judas. So there you go. Look, Hollywood loves to do this, but you know, they never, ever, 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 ever mock the Muslims. They never do. No, I know I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to say I wonder why, because you know why. But they'll come after the Christians. We're open. It's open season on Christians, even more so than Jews. But I'm just telling you, it is not good. Oh, by the way, have you been following the Barstool sports story? That is just weird. So anyway, there was a big hullabaloo about an incident at the Barstool Philly bar, and somebody had an anti-Semitic sign. And it was blank the Jews. And the person holding the sign happened to be a Temple University student allegedly of the Muslim faith. And so this guy speaking out, and he says it was just a joke. I think I missed the joke. So now Dave Portnoy's causing all sorts of chaos over this, and he's firing a lot of people that were involved. And saying that this was unacceptable. And now the guy holding the sign, the alleged Muslim guy from Temple University holding the sign, says that he's actually the victim in all of this. Portnoy said he fired the two waitresses responsible for carrying out the anti-Semitic incident. And he said that he would use all of this as a teaching moment by sending the people who ordered the sign to Auschwitz to learn about the Holocaust. By the way, Portnoy is Jewish. Said he would pay for them to go and tour concentration camps. Portnoy said, for everybody who wants to see these kids' lives be ruined, I think you can lay off, and I think it's a fair trade, talking about sending them overseas. By the way, Temple University said that they have identified one of their students that was involved in the incident, and that person has been placed on interim suspension. I'm not seeing the joke here. I do see the anti-Semitism, but I don't see the joke. And maybe that's the punchline. All right. Got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Trust you are doing well today. By the way, it is May 7th. And have you got your real ID? You know, if you don't have your real ID, you won't be able to get on board a jetliner unless you have like a passport. The real ID goes into effect today. They have been moving towards this for years, and it's just delay after delay after delay. But all of this was actually passed back in 2005, and it's all part of the 9/11 Commission's recommendation that the federal government enhance security standards for identification. So here's the deal. If you need to access federal buildings, if you want to get on board a commercial jetliner, or you want to visit a nuclear power plant, you will need a real ID. And that's the one with the little star. It's got a gold star or a black star on the upper right-hand corner of your driver's license. The only other accepted alternative is a passport. Now, a lot of people are wondering, and I'm curious if anybody's had any issues here with this. Because they're saying you cannot fly if you do not have a real ID. According to the Transportation Security Administration, passengers without the real ID can expect additional screening and the possibility of not getting through the security checkpoint if their identity cannot be verified. Now, I don't understand why we have the Transportation Security Administration. I'm just going to say it. It's been a waste of our tax money. They haven't done anything except aggravate a lot of people. There have been many Americans who have been fondled, who have been manhandled by TSA agents. And I have been, when you look at what George W. Bush did to this country, and the Republicans at the time, all in the name of public safety, it really aggravates me. Because right now, it's just all theater. Everything that we have to go through at the airport is just flat-out theater. Now, back in the old days, they had like a little metal detector, and you could walk through, and you could bring your family with you. And going to the airport was, I mean, it wasn't a pleasant experience, but anybody remember those days? Anybody remember the good old days? I miss those days. Because now when you step foot into an airport, it's almost as if, I don't know, do you ever have a sense of, I don't know, dread? I mean, it's not because, you know, planes might fly into each other because there's nobody, you know, in the air traffic control tower, or maybe your air traffic controller is having an episode. No, that's not what I'm talking about. It's this sense of dread, like, oh gosh, did I accidentally leave something in my suitcase? Because a very simple thing, like accidentally leaving your gun, or maybe you have some ammo and you forgot to take it out of your luggage. Well, all of a sudden you can become a felon. And when you step foot into these airports, as beautiful as they are, many of them being rebuilt, as beautiful as they are, it's almost as if you're walking into North Korea, right? It's just, you surrender your rights, and it's really sad. I have the fast pass, the clear, so just plop my fingers down, and I'm through security. And I really don't have to mess with the long lines. But I see those long lines of people, my fellow Americans, and I think, man, this is really sad. Because it's all being done for theater. That's all it's being done for. These people aren't stopping terrorists. That's not what this is really all about. As a matter of fact, they won't even profile the people trying to blow us up. There was a great moment in the movie. the parody movie Airplane. I don't know if you remember this, but there was a scene where you have all these Islamic radicals, and back in the day, you could actually have fun and make jokes about this, but you had these Muslim terrorists, Middle Eastern terrorists, and they were being ushered through the checkpoints, even though the little metal detector was going off. But then the little grandma, she walks through with her knitting needles, and it goes off, and they slam her up against the wall, and they're manhandling grandma. Little did we know back in the 1980s that would become our reality in the days after the 9/11 terrorist attacks. But to this day, they don't even profile the people most likely to blow us all to kingdom come. Instead, they're searching all of you Protestants out there. I'm just saying it's true. So anyway, I've never been a fan of the TSA. And I don't understand this because let's just say you don't have a real ID. And you go to Memphis International Airport and you show them your regular ID, which, by the way, and this is what kills me. All right, you ready for this? So the documents you need for the real ID are the same documents you need for your regular driver's license. So what's the difference? There is no difference. It's just more government bureaucracy, courtesy of the Republicans. So let's just say that you go up to Memphis International and you don't have a real ID, but you've got your other documents. And so they say, well, we're going to take you through an additional screening and then we'll let you go. And here's what the additional screening is. They take you into a room and they feel your private parts. And then they let you board the plane. So, Michael, no, I'm not making this up. This is exactly what they're doing. So what, they're feeling up Americans, and is that the way let's just say that Ronald McDonald doesn't have a real ID, and so Ronald McDonald gets pulled aside. Well, Mr. McDonald, you're going to have to go through additional screening. And so they do the additional screening. Ronald McDonald sings the high parts on Amazing Grace, and they say, oh, after they get a good grip, they're like, oh, yeah, this is Ronald McDonald. I mean, how do they know it's Ronald McDonald? What if Ronald McDonald identifies as Rhonda? I mean, what do they do then? It's modern-day America, ladies and gentlemen. It makes absolutely no sense. So all that to say, good luck to all you folks out there as you go to the airport. Personally, I'm going to be driving a whole lot more. As a matter of fact, we're doing a big national book tour this summer, and I'm telling you, I am actually driving to most of the locations. I don't want to deal with all this mess. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This story from Ohio. We should have done the crime news, right? It really is crime news across America.
Keeping you updated on crimes sweeping across the Fruited Plain.
I ain't scared of no popo car, the popo car, the popo.
This is the Starnes APB.
Dateline, Ohio, Springfield Township. The long arm of the law pulling over an elderly woman. And they discovered a raccoon trying to smoke a meth pipe. Dylan, did you see the video?
I did.
You know, I don't mean to judge people, but if somebody ever told me that there was a raccoon smoking meth, I would believe that woman would have been driving the vehicle.
Yeah. It's one of the best videos. It's one of the funniest videos you'll see.
It's pretty good. So you're going to hear the officer pulling a woman over, and then he realizes that there's a raccoon in the car smoking a meth pipe. Take a listen.
Hi, how are we doing today? I'm Officer Brandon, Springfield Township Police Department.
Okay, stop it, dog. How are you?
So the reason I stopped you is you are suspended with a warrant for your arrest.
I am?
So do me a favor, turn off the car, put the keys up on the dash, detain you for that warrant, and because you are suspended actively. Oh. Hey.
What?
Come here.
Hello?
The raccoon has her meth pipe.
Has what?
Oh, my God.
Her meth pipe.
He's playing with the meth pipe right now. No, don't reach for it. That's evidence now.
Oh, I don't want him to have
well,
that.
Well, that's why I'm going to do it. Hey, buddy.
Huh?
It's okay.
Okay, Your Honor, he'll be here in 2 minutes. I'm right across from my office.
Is that what that is?
A few minutes?
Yeah. Okay. This is what she's smoking meth in.
Okay.
The raccoon's right. Playing with her meth pipe.
All right.
Oh, there's no way. He's trying to smoke it.
All right. Thanks.
There's no way. All right. All right. Enough fun and games.
I'm glad Officer Branham enjoys his job. By the way, so the raccoon is actually a legitimate pet raccoon. It goes by the name Chewy. And she had all the paperwork. I guess you have to have documentation in Ohio if you have a pet raccoon. But sure enough, Chewy the raccoon had gotten a hold of the owner's meth pipe. Her name, by the way, Dylan, Victoria Vidal.
Vidal?
Vidal, V-I-D-A-L, Victoria. She looks to be probably in her 70s, right?
Yeah.
She's 55 years old.
No way.
She's younger than I am.
Yeah, I thought she would have been late 70s.
There's a phrase we use a lot, rode hard and put up wet. That's Victoria. She's seen some things in her time. So here's the question I have, though. And I'm not familiar with meth, but it seems to me, because you're right, I mean, as whacked out as she was, she did not want her raccoon smoking meth. And I get that. I respect that. You want to take care of your critters. My question is, what would have happened if the raccoon would have smoked meth? Does it mellow you out like marijuana, or does it get you like, ah, you like crazy raccoon?
Well, it seems like from the video that he had already had some experience with that. Because he was, you know, he looked like he knew what he was doing.
The raccoon knew how to use it. It wasn't like the raccoon was trying to figure it out. This raccoon had been...
He's not a novice.
No, he's not. He knew his way around a meth pipe. Now, could you imagine the raccoon on crack? That would have been dangerous for everybody involved. I mean, that raccoon would have come out of that car and would have just latched itself onto the face of poor Officer Branham.
He would have drove the car away.
Oh, this could have been dangerous, though, because they did search the vehicle. Have you ever seen Hoarders? That's what her car looks like.
Yeah, it was bad.
Holy cow. They searched her car, and it contained a bulk amount of methamphetamine, crack cocaine, and three used glass meth pipes. She was charged with possession of drugs, three counts of possession of drug paraphernalia, and was cited for driving under suspension. But the good news is Chewy the raccoon is okay. Where is Chewy? Did they turn it over? I mean, who's got custody? The police in a statement said, while our officers are trained to expect the unexpected, finding a raccoon holding a meth pipe is a first. No raccoons were hurt or injured in the incident, authorities confirmed. As always, we remain committed to keeping our community safe, no matter what surprise may come our way. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, your crime report, an exclusive from Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. Jeez, a loop. I don't think you want any wild critter hopped up on any drugs. That maybe marijuana, that kind of mellows you out. Now, it would have been kind of funny to see the raccoon smoking a joint. I'm just going to tell you. Let's go to Michelle in Beaufort, North Carolina. Michelle, do you have experience with crackhead raccoons?
No, but that did jog my memory, and I got to thinking about you talking about meth month. And so I wanted to call and see if you remember that.
The meth, I say that one more time, the meth monkey?
Meth monkeys. Do you remember talking about meth monkeys one day?
I think there was, there was a monkey. Some guy was arrested after they found his monkey on meth.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a tragedy. Yeah, that's not a good thing.
It just jogged my memory, and I got to thinking about it, how funny that was. So.
I'll tell you, you got to watch. We'll post the pictures of the raccoon smoking the pipe on our socials. It's a hoot. All right, Michelle, thank you for that. Got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, so there's a gay lawmaker by the last name of Wiener, and he wants to end discrimination against LGBT people regarding a sex offender registry. This is Scott Wiener. The Anthony Wiener is on the, that's in the New York area. He's the straight Wiener. This is the gay Wiener. So anyway, Senator Wiener, who represents the 11th District there in California, that's San Francisco. I know that's a shock to many of you. But anyway, Senator Gay Wiener introduced a Senate bill to end blatant discrimination against LGBT young people. Now, this is about the sex offender registry. Now, currently, consensual, so you can have consensual sex starting at 15. So you get, this is so disgusting. So all of this is for consensual yet illegal sexual relations between a teenager age 15 and over and a partner within 10 years of age. And a lot of parents are just livid over all of this. So basically, let's just say you're 25 years old. You would be allowed under Senator Wiener's legislation, you would be allowed to have relations with a 15-year-old. I'm telling you right now, folks, this is what happens when you put radical Democrats in charge of your state capital. That's what happens. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, want to give you an update here. So this is just, it's weird. But Alex Jones just announced that James O'Keefe is preparing to expose a Trump administration official accused of helping cover up for Jeffrey Epstein. Now, Alex Jones believes that person to be none other than Attorney General Pam Bondi, and he claims the White House is fully aware of the official's identity. Alex Jones also says that O'Keefe has three major stories that are going to be explosive, and they will connect the dots to reveal a much larger story. I know there's not a lot of meat on the bones just yet, but all of this is supposed to come out around 3 o'clock Eastern time. So be sure to check out ToddStearns.com, and we'll keep you updated on whatever this story turns out to be. Very strange. 901-260-5926, our number. Head over to our website, by the way, ToddStearns.com. Download our app, podcast, and newsletter, all free of charge. We'll be right back. This is a weird story coming from Alpha News. A Champlain Park High School athlete is at the center of a big controversy after quietly competing in girls' sports following a decision made by the child's parents to legally change both the name and sex on official records when the child was just 9 years old. So there is a, this child is now a star girl softball player in, it's only the softball players, isn't it? A girl softball player, star athlete. But it turns out that the girl is really a boy. I have questions for mommy and daddy here. That's who I want to know what the heck is going on. So we'll keep you updated on this story. It's causing all sorts of controversy now, and whether, and it again raises the issue, should boys be allowed to play with girls? Washington State, by the way, the University of Washington, they have been completely overrun by Antifa. And it's really shocking when you see the Antifa thugs, these terrorists, literally taking over the university. They're anti-Semites. They're terrorizing students. The police show up, and Antifa actually repels the police. the videos are just shocking. So I had a state senator on Newsmax last night on my show, a state senator McEwen. And this guy is just as alarmed as we are that the police were not able to do their job. Take a listen.
Joining me now is Republican Drew McEwen, a state senator in Washington. Senator, good to have you with us. Let's get real here. We're talking about Antifa terrorists clashing with police. Those are some pretty shocking scenes. What say you?
Yeah, it's horrible. And, you know, in UW, police are caught a little flat-footed with it. They've got an administration that has not really empowered them to be able to do their job. And they ended up having to call in support from the Seattle Police Department. And, you know, it's certainly one thing to protest, express your displeasure with the course of government or the course of your university. It's another thing when that crosses over to lighting fires, destroying things, and acting in a domestic terrorist way. And frankly, it's just disgusting to me that it's the anti-Semitic overtones that were there. You know, and here these people are essentially supporting a Hamas regime in Gaza that's Iranian funded. And you just got done with your segment there about the issues in the Middle East. And these people just don't seem to make these connections on, you know, the real threat that is out there. So very disappointed in those protests that occurred. You know, I am hopeful that the University of Washington is going to take a better proactive stance in quelching these things before they get going. And I'd also ask that the governor step in and exert some authority here. It's his alma mater. I would have believed that he would have taken a stronger view on making sure that things remain safe and orderly.
Yeah, I'm from a state perspective here, are you guys hearing anything about bringing in the National Guard, doing something to protect Jewish students there on campus? It was a little nerve-wracking to see law enforcement being manhandled by those protesters last night.
It was, and they actually, you know, we're in a retreat, and again, I think that's a reflection of policy. That's, I feel for those enforcement officers. They're operating under the conditions that are there and under the policies that the university administration, the Seattle administration have put forward. Is there talk of a National Guard? No, there's not. This state is so scared to frankly face a bully in the face and instead allows itself to get bullied. We've seen this time and again in the Seattle area, whether it's shutting down interstates, shutting down businesses altogether, causing mass destruction across the city. It's uncalled for. Again, you have every right to protest. I don't have a problem with that. There's a way to do that. There's a way to voice your displeasure with what your view is of how things are going. But I do wish that the governor, this would be an opportunity in his early administration to step up and say, we're not going to tolerate this anymore. If this continues, we will use the National Guard. We'll bring the State Patrol, whatever we need to do to ensure the safety of students and faculty first and foremost, and then make sure that we have the protection of the property that's there, that's frankly funded by the taxpayers.
All right. Well, let's hope they do, by the way, but that's just unacceptable. Setting fires, causing all sorts of mayhem. Come on. This story out of Mediaite, and again, I am not picking on Republicans today. I'm just trying to encourage Republicans to do the right thing and to live up to their campaign promises. That's all I'm trying to do here. So this is the headline from Mediaite today. A group of House Republicans reportedly lobbying to protect Planned Parenthood in the big, beautiful bill negotiations. So these negotiations are ongoing up on Capitol Hill. And now we know that there are a group of Republicans that want to protect Planned Parenthood and the funding, the tax dollars that Planned Parenthood gets. The GOP caucus in the House, identified as Congressman Mike Lawler from New York, Brian Fitzpatrick from Pennsylvania, and Jen Kiggins from Virginia, all Republicans, and all are fighting to continue sending federal tax dollars to the country's largest abortion provider. According to a report in NOTUS, N-O-T-U-S, moderate Republicans will likely be pro-life advocates' biggest hurdle in their mission to ban federal funding from Planned Parenthood, all of this in a reconciliation package. Many are already voicing their opposition. House Speaker Mike Johnson, who is definitely on the pro-life side, has promised the bill will redirect funds away from big abortion. Now, Fitzpatrick expressed his intention to raise the issue during a meeting, arguing there are other policy areas that we need to focus on. Lawler says, fundamentally, obviously, from the standpoint of providing health care to women, I'm not taking away people's health care. Obviously, Planned Parenthood does provide a lot of services outside of abortion-related services, and so you know, I'd have to see what they're proposing. Now, President Trump signed an executive order to end the forced use of federal tax dollars to promote elective abortion. He did this back in January. Vice President J.D. Vance said on the campaign trail last year that the administration would support measures to defund Planned Parenthood. So what are these Republican lawmakers doing here? And my question, ladies and gentlemen, what say you? Should we continue to fund Planned Parenthood? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Curious to hear your thoughts on this one. It's just, again, these unforced errors, and we really don't need to be having these kinds of arguments right now. I just don't get that. By the way, folks, I've got to ask you a question. What is your plan when the smartest investors, the guys who never lose, they pile their money into gold and silver? What's your plan? That, because that's what they're doing right now, and they're watching the value climb. So the question is, are you okay with missing out? Are you okay with seeing them thrive while you wait? Well, I want to encourage you to check out my friends at Vault US Gold. They are the answer, trusted by the pros, and they offer gold IRAs to secure your retirement and gold and silver delivered, shipped, and insured to your door. You want to roll over your 401k? Well, they've got experts, and they can make it seamless every step of the way. So Vault US Gold, they are steady, they are reliable, no tricks, just value. And gold is hot right now, which is why you need to get a Kraken. I want you to write down this telephone number, so grab something, write down this number, 833-511-GOLD. That's 833-511-G-O-L-D. You can also visit vaultusgold.com for a free investor kit. And be sure to tell them that Todd Stern sent you over. That's Vault US Gold. You got to buy smart. You got to win big. All right, here we go, folks. President Trump now weighing in on Tom Tillis. He is the senator from North Carolina. Tillis is standing in the way. He is blocking Ed Martin to be the next D.C. U.S. attorney. That is President Trump's pick, by the way. A couple of things. First of all, there is a brand new poll out showing Laura Trump crushing Senator Tom Tillis in a hypothetical 2026 GOP primary. So don't be surprised if the words Senator Trump are trending in North Carolina very soon. Victory Insights did a survey of 800 likely GOP primary voters, and she beats Laura Trump, who, by the way, is from North Carolina. So this is not a stretch here. Laura Trump is from North Carolina, and she would end up beating Tom Tillis in the Republican primary 65% to 11%. That's pretty impressive. About a quarter of Republican voters still shopping around. But a lot of people are very unhappy right now with Tom Tillis. Now, Chad Pergram over at Fox News has this item, and I'm just going to read this to you, and you can make of it what you will. Chad Pergram writing, Trump on Tillis opposing Ed Martin, quote, it's disappointing because I know he's very talented, talking about Ed Martin. Crime is down in Washington. Street crime, violent crime, down by 25%. People have seen, they've noticed a big difference. I feel very badly about it, only in the sense that in the short period of time that he's been there, crime is down 25% in Washington, D.C., but that's really up to the senators. If they feel that way, they have to vote the way they vote. They have to follow their hearts, and they have to follow their mind. So it sounds almost as if Trump knows that this is going to happen. But there's got to be some other kind of wild card. There's something else going on here. And we'll be paying close attention to this. This will unfold very, very rapidly. So I would not stray too far away from TonStearns.com. We will definitely keep you up to speed on what's happening there. But I'm telling you, North Carolina, what do you think about Senator Laura Trump? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Meanwhile, Pete Hegseth doubling down on his mission to rid the military of wokeness and weakness. I love this story. Hegseth says, no more dudes in dresses. We're done with that. Giving a speech at Special Operations Forces in Tampa, Florida. Hegseth says the military is leaving wokeness and weakness behind. No more pronouns, no more climate change obsession. The days of drag queens cavorting on Navy ships, soldiers marching in high heels, yeah, those days are over. Hegseth also announcing that his call to get our fighting men and women in fighting shape. He said service members are going to be fit, not fat. He said military standards will be high and will be gender neutral. In other words, guys and gals will be required and will be judged by the same measure. Quote, no more soft, fat, mushy quitters will be permitted in the military. I love this. No complaints here, Pete. This is great news. He says we cannot compromise on our standards. So here we are, ladies and gentlemen, of the great news coming out of the Pentagon. The days of the social justice warriors are now over, and the U.S. military appears to be back in the business of breaking things and killing the enemy. Well, very happy to hear that. Oh, by the way, yesterday, the Supreme Court weighed in and said that the Trump administration does have the authority to ban transgender troops from serving in the U.S. military. So, again, President Trump winning the day against these activist judges. And I don't know about you, but I would just love to see Congress using the same sort of force and ferocity and dedication that we have seen coming from the White House, that we have seen coming from the DOJ committee. I would love to see that kind of ferociousness, but we're not. I would love to see Speaker Johnson saying, you know what? We're not calling a recess. We're going to stay here. We're going to get the work of the people done. First order of business, we're going to be defunding these activist courts. Second order of business, we're going after these activist judges. That's what we're going to do. But unfortunately, that's not where the House is right now. It's going to take them a little bit more time to get the courage to do something like that. But man, would it be... I got to tell you, I would love to see something like that. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, you guys have been following us as we've been talking about how to save my hometown of Memphis, Tennessee. And it really is a big mess. I mean, it really is. Well, now we understand why. So it turns out that we have had over 111,000 criminal acts over the past year. I mean, that's insane. 111,000. They've only arrested 18,000 people for those crimes. So 111,000 criminal acts, and we're talking about only 18,000 people that were arrested. Out of the 18,000 people that were arrested, more than half of those were set free without any charges at all. So we're looking at, and we almost have to guesstimate here. But we're looking at possibly as low as 6,000 people have actually been arrested and charged with those 111,000 crimes. And the reason why is because we have activist judges on the bench and we have Democrats who control the city of Memphis. And yet this is why they're able to go out there and say crime is down. And the reason why they're saying crime is down is they're not charging anybody with crimes. They're just letting them go. And there's a great guy, and you're going to be hearing more about this guy on the national stage. Trust me on this. His name is Senator Brent Taylor, and he is really cut from the cloth of Donald Trump, and he's got the clever sayings of a Senator John Kennedy. And this guy has been fighting really a one-man battle as a lawmaker to fight crime in Memphis. But this is nuts. So he's teaming up with a local group called Memphis Crime Beat, and man, they're just awesome patriots, volunteer patriots, and they're going to draft legislation to kind of fix all of this. Because clearly right now, as it now stands, Memphis is, I mean, it's a de facto lawless city. I mean, if you've got 111,000 crimes out there and you've only arrested, what, 6,000, 7,000 people? Yeah, that's not good. That is not good at all, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to keep track of that. And again, elections have consequences. We say this all the time. You folks in Houston, you're understanding this now with the rise in crime there in your community, Atlanta, Georgia, the same thing happening. All right, tonight, folks, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax, we're going to be hosting our good friend Alex Villanueva. He had such a great time on the radio show yesterday, asked to come and be a part of our Newsmax show. He will be joining us. It's going to be a great conversation. You talk about what's happening in California. Villanueva left the Democrat Party after more than 40 years, joined the Republican Party. This guy's going to be running for something very soon. So we're going to be following those developments. It's going to be a great conversation tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. All right, folks, it has been a great day. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget, check out ToddStarnes.com. Any sort of breaking news, we will post it there. You folks get out there. Have a great one. You be good, America.